friends, it is good to be here this morning. If you are new here or you haven't been here as frequently, one of the things that we do monthly is we have a thing called Discipleship Sunday. And one of the things that we want to remind you about Discipleship Sundays is that these are conversations with the Holy Spirit and with the body of believers as we learn to not only just be, it's not a lecture or a teaching, but that through our stories, we know God better. Because we all have unique gifts. We are uniquely made. We are once in a creation human being that knows God intimately and has a God that pursues us. And so we have these conversations. And so again, as a reminder, what we always say is, as disciples of Jesus, as people who are apprenticing our lives after Jesus, that apprenticeship takes a rhythm of being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And so this year we're talking a lot about a theme of what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? What did he call his disciples to do as he left? And so this morning we're talking about mourning. And so whatever posture that you want to take, I know that sometimes what we'll have the scripture on the screen, but whatever posture you want to take, we're just going to read Matthew 5, verse 4, two or three times. So whatever posture you want to take to receive that, and then we're going to open up time of questions to kind of elicit what do we learn from this text? What do we learn? What is the Holy Spirit trying to say? And so whatever posture, if you want to watch it one time, if you want to close your eyes, if you want to read along with me, it says this: blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. When you hear the word mourn, what do you picture? What do you picture when mourning comes to mind?
Crying.
Yep. Loss.
Funeral.
Say it again.
A funeral.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Crying, like more.
So you have more tears for some things than others. Yeah. Great. What else? When you picture mourning, what do you see?
Death.
Sadness and confusion. Great. I love it.
A hurt heart.
Yes. So something like it almost feels physical, right? It's not just a practice. So when the scripture says, blessed are those who mourn, what surprises you about calling people blessed who mourn? Haha, you don't feel blessed. Tell me more. I'm not going to let you off.
Something that you thought was a blessing, so you feel like it's kind of the exact opposite.
So you feel like you lost something that was a blessing. Great. What surprises you?
Well, there's a lot of other emotions, like anger sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah,
how does your blessedness manage all of the emotions that you're feeling? Anger, confusion, questioning. Yeah.
When you mourn, it shows you that you care about something.
Yeah, so like.
It sometimes surprises you that you're mourning because you're like, I didn't realize I cared about that so much. Like it's proof.
That blessedness connecting, like that it means a lot to you, shows you like what a gift it was to receive what you had. Yeah.
I think you're alive. So the fact that you even have the emotion.
Yeah. For sure. Like, right? You get to experience the range of emotions because you're alive. You're feeling, you're not the tin man. You have a heart. Awesome. Great. It's proving that every one of you has a heart. Awesome. Yeah.
In the
So could I say that a blessed thing is that all of the things that shouldn't matter go to the side, and that you're able to focus on really memorializing or mourning what you lost.
And there's a vulnerability.
Yes, there's a vulnerability. So the things that we build up that are barriers are quickly stripped away. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, any of you, like blessed, all those things, blessing, if you Google searched it, or if you did an algorithm like on any of your social medias, what you would predominantly see is an increase of like up and to the right of life. Right? And the further you get up, the more blessing you have. So it is, you can quantitate it because you have less blessing and you have more blessing. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that godly sorrow in 1 Corinthians. Yeah. Oh, stop it. I love it. Man, you're already stealing things. Right, like so what said is like, preach, son. Yeah, it was saying like, when you're blessed, say it again for me, because I just got lost in it. Hey, say it again, Micah. Micah, say it again. When you lose something, when you mourn, you get to rely on God more, right? And so, thanks, son. I don't even know what I was going to say. Thanks for saying it again. Right, so when you lose something, like again, everything shudders, and the one thing that remains, right? And you hold on tightly to that. Even if you've been holding on loosely. Yeah. Or sometimes like you don't know something's gone wrong until it goes wrong, right? But then you realize, like in your house, like, you know, the bomb cycle might happen, but you still got a foundation to build off of. You're strong. Yeah. Yeah.
Like it doesn't say blessed are those who have terrible things happen to them. It says blessed are those who mourn. And we all have bad things happen to us, but we can choose not to mourn, right? Like, mourning is a lot of work and it's inconvenient. And so actively choosing to acknowledge and grieve and do the work of like there's blessing in choosing to engage with your feelings instead of just like try to stiff upper lip it or try to like...
So good. Yeah, so what was said is that we all have bad things that happen to us. It doesn't say, blessed are those who have trials. I mean, it says that in, like, James. But right here, Jesus doesn't say, like, blessed are those who have all these awful things. He goes, blessed are those that mourn. And there's how many times that we have terrible things that we don't mourn because it's inconvenient. It takes up time. It takes up energy. It takes your focus. It pulls you away from your job performance, your friendships maybe. Yeah.
They just move on. You know?
Yeah, our Western society teaches us to the phrase with stiff upper lip it, just go on. Or when you're in public, like have this personification of that you're better off than you are. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess following on that, it also doesn't say anything that about the bad thing happening to you.
Mm. Yes. Let's expand this to say that blessed are those who mourn isn't just included for you who have lost something, but a community that can come along who have experienced their own loss can come alongside and mourn. And so it's bigger than, it doesn't exclude you if you can't empathize with what has happened.
That, the stiff upper lip thing makes me think of what the Bible says, which is harden your heart. And so for me, I was experiencing this where if you're mourning, it means you're not hardening your heart.
Yeah.
You're staying open, and there's a huge blessing to that because hardening your heart takes you away from all so much of what God.
God brings to us.
Yeah, that hardening of your heart is the thing that pulls you. In Scripture, it always is pulling you away from God, away from Jesus, away from the Holy Spirit. And there's always, when that happens, when you have an inability to mourn or inability to do the things that God has called you and wired you to do, it pulls you further away instead of closer. So what kind of mourning might Jesus be talking about here? I want to get more into the specifics. We talked a lot about like what types of like what you picture, but what types of mourning is Jesus talking or could be talking about here to his friends?
Mourning of wickedness, mourning of sin. Maybe that's sort of like at the heart of this.
Hey, leave some for the rest of us, you know? Like, yeah, the mourning of oppression, of sin. Yep.
Breaking our heart for what breaks
God. Yeah, that's a song that we sang, like breaking our heart for what breaks God's. So they can be many things, right? Yeah, Buck. Yeah, culturally, it looks different. In countries where you wear all black for a long time, or you have seasons of remembrance, that it comes back, and you don't just like pass over, but you fully live into that passing of that day, the day when life shuddered, when life was different. Yeah. 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 So, yeah. Yeah, what was said is like that she mourns the injustice in the world, because when you look at the state of where you're at in a pretty safe community, in a safe neighborhood with a lot of things that you can answer for yourself, and then you see a different story, it elicits sadness or mourning for what is happening around. Yeah. Did it again. Yes.
I think too that sometimes there's strength in the mourning when it's walking with Jesus in the way that you come on the other side stronger and closer. So there's that kind of mourning of the loss, but then
yeah, like the process of mourning is from deep sadness and grief, and then as you experience this, what Scripture might call a wilderness moment, is that wilderness is never meant to be lived in, but to be journeyed through. And on the other side of that, especially Israel, when they talked about journeying through the wilderness, on the other side was Israel, was Jerusalem, was the kingdom, was the fullness of God, of experiencing God. So, one of the things that when we talk about Scripture, when Jesus says, like, blessed are those that mourn, again, he's giving his teaching for the first time to not only his disciples and people who started to follow him, but to people who are interested. But he doesn't just say this and go. He embodies it later in Scripture and throughout his life. And some of the ways in throughout the Gospels that we see Jesus mourning are mourning at a loss. That Jesus mourns when Lazarus has died. It says the famous shorter scriptures that Jesus weeps. And in Israel, when you say weeps, it is not just crying. It is ripping of clothes. It is deep sadness. It is matching the exterior with the interior. That Jesus also mourns at the sin that is happening in the world. and especially right in front of his face with the religious. And he also mourns the things that are happening around him. He came into a world where his people are oppressed by the Romans. He mourns the state of the world. And so in this, as we kind of process through these things, like what loss do we feel allowed? When we talk about loss, what is loss? What do you feel like you are allowed to mourn? And then what stays hidden? Yeah.
It dawns on me also, it's not just mourning somebody who died, but the loss of a career. We need to do the work of mourning for that. The loss of a friend or somebody who has rejected you. Rejection. There's a lot of other things that we can mourn. The loss of a dream. The loss of, you know, the way I always thought it would turn out. Those are things that God allows us and wants us to mourn with him.
Yeah. So
not
more.
Not wallow in forever and listen to sad melancholic music for a year just to wallow in it, but to work through it with God hand in hand.
Yes, the process of mourning bigger things, or not bigger, other things that are just as impactful. The loss of a dream, the loss of a job, the loss of the way you thought things would go. Yeah. What else? What are the things that you, that differentiate between what you're allowed it to and what you say hidden? Yeah.
Personal failing.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, what was said is, you don't mourn, you hide the personal failings. Oh, the masks that we wear. Yeah, what else? Yeah, bye. Yeah, it's the caring for something or something, someone or something so deeply that you cause to mourn. The other one, when we talk about mourning our sin, what would change in you, what would elicit a change in you if that you mourn for your sin was breaking a relationship and not a rule? What would change in us if we went back to, it's not breaking a rule, but it's breaking a relationship? What that might that elicit in your mourning? I know this is the one that I was ready for no one to say anything.
Say it again
for those in the back. For y'all that sit in the back. How could you mourn? How would your mourning change if you saw this mourning for sin that was not just breaking a rule, but breaking a relationship?
Get impacted by something.
Yeah.
If you see about it from that perspective, then you are more likely to feel sad and mournful and hopefully then work through.
Yeah, you see the person. And sometimes when our sin breaks this relationship, we feel it, or this relationship, sorry, I mean, y'all are great. Y'all don't break it, your relationship at all. But, because, you know, parents and kids are awesome together. Right? But all of a sudden, but when we have this relationship with God, sometimes the narrative that it is a far distant being, so thus, maybe he doesn't care about my little sins. Yeah. Ooh. I love that. Like, we talked about sin, and what she said was that, like, when you see it in that breaking, that sin, it requires a response. What if mourning was requiring a response? And then that was a litmus test of the type of relationship you have with God. So good. Now, when we talk about maybe what are some of the things in this world that is breaking your heart?
Politics.
The suffering of innocent lives, yeah.
Ignoring the suffering of innocent. Ignoring the suffering, not even of innocent.
Ignoring the suffering. Can I, as your pastor, repent of my desire to withdraw from all things that are negative and put my head in the sand? And just deal with right here. The foreigner, the widow.
Classic trio from the Old Testament and into the New Testament.
And the widow, the orphaner. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Loss and the injustice of the innocent life taken. Talked about resonating with the heart of God by opening yourself up to what is happening in the world and not just your world. Yeah.
I really mourn the all of us who are falling prey to the lies. There's a lot on all sides, right? We believe things wrong and then can't know the truth. And it really is mournful.
Yeah, mourning the state of the world where truth, where lies are made truth and truth are made lies, and where now everything's so ready accessible, like you can't just automatically, what source is actually holding the truth anymore? Should is the question that we should ask and we should mourn.
I mourn when things are done in the name of Jesus that are incredible.
When things are done in the name of Jesus that are antithetical to the words that he said. You walking, me walking, us walking, the world walking in, like what it says right after the salt and light, and yet we do things in the name of Jesus that defames the name, not raises it up. Yeah. Amen. Yes. We mourn that something is so big that you can't do a thing about it. So why try? Yeah. Yeah, you mourn like that relationship. You're like, it's, how many of us can relate to something comes out of your mouth and you're like trying to grab it in? Or saying things you say in ignorance. You come back and it breaks the relationship. Yeah, Kenny. The injustice in the media. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jesus on the cross is looking at he who was, who knew no sin, is looking out at us, who is in front of him, and who are ever to live in all of time, and nobody lived up. And yet there's still some that look to the eyes of Jesus and say, no, thank you. And so when it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Like the comfort comes. Like his comfort is in a shared sorrow. A shared sorrow. Like his comfort, when he says like that they will be comforted, it is in a shared sorrow. I think about this, like a God who doesn't suffer isn't worth following. A God who doesn't mourn isn't worth knowing. A God who doesn't suffer isn't worth trusting. The greatest moment where you worry over the world looks at a God and accepts a God that would, many narratives of God that would come and would move amongst his people, would try to teach them the way, But a God that would suffer is unique to the man Jesus. Is unique to him. This is a God who sits on the throne and yet is a God who bleeds with you. A God who has suffered next to you. A God who has wept. A God who mourns. A God who lost. So when we say that blessed are those who mourn for they will be comforted, that is that moment of saying, yes, your comfort comes in the proximity to a God who moves near to you, but not just moves near to you as someone who doesn't know, but one who is implicitly has done it in his life. He's bled, he's mourned, he's died. He was buried. He was thought that he was discarded away from the powers to be, that no longer would he have the momentum to change the world because his life was lost. How can we, this is the place of comfort, without a God who will come near, without a God who will move out of, into darkness, into helplessness, to experience everything that we've experienced, is a God who has mourned what you have yet to mourn. How could a God be relatable that doesn't suffer? How could a God be one who comforts, who hasn't mourned? This is why I follow Jesus. Because it isn't a distance, but it's one who's near. And Hebrews says it in the text. He says that God, that our great high priest, who is, we don't have a great high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are and yet did not sin. That means that God is not just like having sympathy over here and comes pat you on the back. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's hard. Get over it. Stiff upper lip it. One that moves towards you and says, my best friend betrayed me. I was betrayed for money, for power. I have all the power in the world and yet I saw death around me. Sin, injustices. He knows and mourns with you. So this week, what we're going to ask you to do is we're going to ask you to participate in mourning, in the practice of mourning. That we on the side have little mini packets of tissues with labels on them. And we're going to encourage you to practice maybe the way the Holy Spirit has been moving, whether it's something that you've lost or someone has lost. And when they come to you and expressing their mourning, you say, how can I pray for you? And actually pray for them at the loss. Or there's a loss that you've been hiding that you actually mourn. And that's the symbol of the tissues, that you would actually pull the tissues out and actually weep and mourn, and your body would do something to begin the process of healing and comforting. Or that there's a sin that you have yet to repair. A sin between you and God or you and one another, and you choose to name it. To allow the power of shame to be released, to put it on there and actually mourn it. Or we've asked you to go grab one and to mourn the state of the world. That you choose one faithful action to pray, to give, to serve, to show up, to write, to advocate, to visit, to understand that the world is bigger. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, come. You have been speaking through your people. Your voice is bigger than one. Silence our hearts, still our hearts, and let your voice become greater, Holy Spirit, so that we have found you and follow you for the rest of our days. We ask this in your name. Amen.
I'm in just a minute before we invite you to respond the way that Austin has just instructed us. We are going to share together in mourning. and create some space for that in our words together and in our prayer. So I'm going to pray and then lead us in a corporate lament together this morning. Jesus, you tell us that those who mourn are blessed, not because grief is easy or good, but because you draw near to the brokenhearted. This week and in so many weeks before it, we feel the weight of sorrow in our world. Lives lost, families shaken, communities grieving, oppression rising. The pain is real and it is heavy. And we come before you carrying real heaviness. We grieve lives taken by violence that stands against your will for life, dignity, and peace. We name this loss before you, trusting that you hear even what feels too heavy or too costly to say out loud. We come to you not with answers, but with open hands and honest hearts. Thank you for the gift of lament, for it is not despair and it is not indifference. It is not turning away. It is turning toward you and bringing our grief, our anger and confusion and our longing to the only one who has an answer. It is trusting that you hear us and that you are with us. Genesis 4:10. Friends, will you please read responses together as they appear on the screen? What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. God, you are not distant from the cries of this world. No life is forgotten. No grief is unseen. We are weary, O God. We mourn what has been lost. We grieve the fear that settles into hearts. We long for the comfort you promise to those who mourn. For all who grieve lives lost, for families and communities carrying deep sorrow, come, God of comfort. For those harmed by violence and for those who live in fear because of it, come, God of mercy. For our hearts, when we grow numb, weary, or tempted to look away, come, God of justice. And for a world longing for peace and for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, come, God of peace. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my hope. He alone is our rock and our salvation, our fortress. We shall not be shaken. Amen. On God rests our deliverance and our honor. He is our mighty rock. Our refuge is in God. Amen. Mm-hmm.